Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
You know, parents want their kids to be happy, but maybe trying to make them happy is making them less happy. Well, we'll talk about this and more in episode number 53, titled, Why Isn't My Son Happy? It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and that's me. I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you create that enjoyable family you work for every day. And I'm happy to announce that our Empowered Teen Parenting Workshop is up, running, and thriving. Parents are reporting a much improved experience parenting their teenagers. So if you'd like to get priority entry when we set up our next one, come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and shoot me an email. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, don't be shy. I'm sure plenty of other folks will benefit from your question. So come on over to my website and enter it there today. And please remember, this is an educational podcast. It's not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Today, we're hearing from Ron, and Ron's a dad from Wilmington, Delaware. And Ron writes, I'm struggling with how to help my 25-year-old son. He lives at home with his mother and me. He doesn't make friends or do much other than go to work where he's a checker at a local supermarket. When we ask him what's wrong, why he's unhappy, he says he doesn't know, but he's okay as he is. We had him see his doctor, and his doctor put him on an antidepressant. I don't think he has a drug problem, although I know he does smoke some marijuana, and he's on the computer a lot playing games, and that might be a problem. He may have always been depressed. His mother and I work hard to make him happy. We did things with him. We bought him gadgets he liked. We encouraged him to have friends over, but he just never wanted to do much. He's really smart, but would never apply himself. Still, he got decent grades, went to college, and he even has a degree in political science. When we push him to do things, he gets mad at us and says he's fine. What should we do? Well, Ron, thanks for your question. It sure sounds like you guys are stuck, all right. Let's take a look at where you are, how you got here, and where you might go from here. Now, it's really hard for parents to know what to do when they see their child or their teenager or their young adult unhappy or depressed. They worry that if they push or they take a stand, that they'll make their son or daughter more depressed or even suicidal. And when things have gotten this far and this stuck, Ron, I'm here to tell you there has been a control battle in the family for a long time. Now, not the usual control battle where kids are fighting for more privileges and parents are saying no, or kids are wanting to do fun things and parents are trying to get their kids to manage their responsibilities. It's very similar, but this kind of control battle is where kids who are generally not naturally upbeat kids and they're not highly social for one reason or another, and their parents are pushing or trying to get them to do more or feel happier, and then the child or the teenager resists the parents' attempts and insists on their right to be unhappy and may actually work at resisting all the things that would make them happy, because they're resisting their parents, so they resist their parents' efforts at making them happy. Now, this is crazy, right? All the parents wanted, and in your case still want, Ron, is for your child, teen, or young adult to be happy. Nothing but good intentions on everybody's part, right? So, what do we do? Well, for starters, it's great to do nice things for your kids. It's great to love them, and it's great to play with them, get them nice things that they enjoy, arrange things for them to do, even buy them things they want or need. That's all great. But if you want your child, your teen, or your young adult to be happy, they need to be empowered. They need the skill set for making themselves happy. And the reason for this is, ta-da, we are all responsible for our own happiness. Right? That's certainly true for adults, isn't it? No one can make you happy, can they? Would you go from being unhappy to being happy if, for instance, you won the lottery? Well, we all might think so, right? But research shows that after the initial elation of winning, we go back to our previous level of happiness. So here's another question. Would you go from happy to unhappy if you had a bad accident and lost, say, for instance, the use of your legs? Well, research shows that after a time of shock and grief, that people work back to their previous level of happiness. So happiness, yes, it's partially innate. Some of us are born sunnier than others. But if we're going to be happy, then we can't hope to win the lottery or wait for someone else to make us happy. We need happiness skills. And if our sons and our daughters are going to be happy, they need happiness skills too. So, what are those skills? Well, I'll go over what I believe are 6 critical happiness skill areas, but if you think of one that I left out, leave me a comment on my website, okay? Well, here first is knowing and accepting ourselves. Nobody is good at everything, and everybody is good at many things. Knowing that and accepting that about ourselves is important. Knowing that we can grow and thrive in our areas of strength and that we can improve, although maybe not to a standout level, in our areas of relative weakness. That's one critical area. Another is having passion and goals. When we have passion, then we seek to achieve goals, and often having goals will encourage passion. Both of these will help us engage, and with engagement, we will find fulfillment. And then, of course, there are emotional management skills. You know, we all have feelings, lots of them, all the time, even many at the same time. I mean, I could be mad at someone and be concerned for them at the same time, right? Being able to identify our feelings and not be overwhelmed by them, that keeps us centered and it keeps us under control. And then, this one should be fairly obvious, our kids have responsibilities, and I don't need to tell you that we all have responsibilities all of our lives. If we get overwhelmed by them and we can't stay organized and don't have a way to address them, then our responsibilities will be burdensome, and then life will be burdensome. Of course, the next area, relationship skills, we all need love. We all need friends and intimates. We need to be able to work effectively with others who might not be either friends or intimates. We need to be able to engage with others so that we can have the opportunity to get the love and support that we need and offer the love and support that others need, as well as to engage in important, necessary interactions with others, such as in a work environment. And we need to be able to do that in a mutually satisfying way. So relationship skills, our kids learn that all the way through their childhoods and adolescence and into their young adulthoods, and you and I are probably still both working on them. And then, finally, I think faith that things will turn out all right is so important. That way, every problem won't be a catastrophe, and we can accept failures and life's problems and then move on. You know, maybe the concept is simply to have faith or to have an accessible spiritual side. Anyway, those are my 6 things. Ron, your son is missing some of these skills and he isn't moving forward. Pushing him isn't going to work. Waiting isn't going to work. So here's a plan that might. We want to break the stalemate. We want a plan that's going to get out of the control battle. So first, we're going to have to start with a vision of this is going to have to move on, and your son is going to have to move forward in his life, certainly move out of the house. So let's start with a conversation about the situation. You may need to turn off the Wi-Fi to get your son's attention, so don't be afraid to do that if that's what you need to do. Now, talk about how stuck things are and how staying stuck is unacceptable. You're going to need to be positive and acknowledge your son's many strengths and his talents. I don't know your son, but you do, and I'm sure he's got many strengths and talents. He's got his political science degree, and I'm sure there are many things about him that you love and cherish. If you're aware of ways, Ron, in which you've been part of the problem, for instance, fighting and arguing or criticizing or perhaps over-empathizing and not putting enough structure and clear expectations in place, then go ahead and apologize for that. Take responsibility, and that's a good example for taking responsibility, and it will avoid the whole concept of fault and your son being defensive. Next, speak to those things that may be holding your son back. And clearly, they include overuse of the computer and maybe even video game addiction and very likely marijuana abuse as well. Both of those things are going to help him stay stuck. And then also let him know that you expect him to address those issues and build any necessary skills he needs to take steps forward in his life, to set goals and take clear steps towards those goals. Does that make sense? As part of this, Ron, I suggest that you set up a family therapy appointment with a well-regarded family therapist in your area to help you and your son make a plan together. The plan may include therapy for your son, might include family therapy, a timeline for his moving out, and a plan to support it. You know, one option, Ron, that you can consider is an out-of-home treatment environment, maybe a young adult wilderness program or an emancipation residential treatment program. I'd try therapy first, but know that this is an option that will be both safe and effective, maybe even profoundly life-changing for your son. If you do decide to move in this direction, please use a licensed placement professional, and that way you'll find the right therapeutic environment for your son. There's no sense doing such a big move in life and then not making the best choice. So, listeners, let's all take a look at ourselves and ask ourselves the following question. Are we obsessed with happiness in our culture? Are we over-focused on making our children happy? If we are, we might just be making them less happy. But by arming them with the skills to succeed in life, we just might be empowering them to live happy, fulfilling lives. And that's what you want for them, isn't it? That's what we all want for them. Well, thanks for tuning in today, everyone, and special thanks to you, Ron, from Wilmington, Delaware, for your question. And do you know someone who might benefit from reading my book, Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle? Some readers have said it's the best counseling session they ever had. And please, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.